Welcome to Ever Beyond, Beyond, on Wolf Spirit Radio and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. August 18th, 2013, Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio and No Borders Radio simulcast here in Scotland. Tonight, my dear friends, brothers and sisters, we will be speaking with Stephen... of the Anointed One Project, which is a registered charity, and it's a global healing project. So, without further ado, I'd like you to actually tell us the whole story, because imagine that we've never come across each other before, and you're going to speak to a kind of intelligent idiot. That's me.
Definitely not an idiot, JP. Basically, started a charity 13 years ago to basically do the healing and stuff. But recently, what we've done is we've created like a global healing group, and it's put into 16 languages to do like a couple of meditations every month. And we've sort of promoted that through the charity. And basically, that's why I've come on the show, really, to sort of promote. We're looking for people to join, basically, to come and join the meditations with us.
And so during these meditations, what's the kind of ceremony? Is there anything different? What's the angle of this?
Yeah, we kind of make it so anyone can participate in it, and we make it into like a basic way of doing it. What we've got is it's broken down into three parts. We've got the main starting point, or which we call the red point, is the astral point. And what we do is a group of people channel like a solar flare from the sun and the sun's energy down to the next group that we actually call the core. And this can be made up of anyone that joins, basically. And what we ask them to do is just take in gold energy through their head chakra, the top of their head, and channel it down through their body and out through their hands. Now, they can do this like either by sending the energy out as like golden rays. They could wrap a person in a golden blanket. Just to keep the reason why we use gold, as you know, like gold is basically all the colours in the whole spectrum. If you mix them all up, they'd go gold. That way, we're sort of channeling gold so the earth takes what it needs, because the actual point of it is we have 20 to 25 grounders, and we get everyone in the core group to send healing to one of the 25 photos that we hold up before the event. What we ask them to do is choose in your heart. Choose which people you should send like this golden way to, or even prayers, so everyone can participate, because a lot of people don't do the healing type thing, but they still want to get involved with prayers. So we just ask, well then, perhaps that photo or all 25 of the photos, whichever you feel, send prayers to. And then what we do, the grounders, which are made up of healers as well, basically have 25 spots over the Earth, which they send helium to. We've got some of the grounders, they send helium to people that are in hospitals with diseases and illnesses. And we have other people that are working directly on the Earth itself, like on Gaia, on the ley lines, to stop other problems.
Right, so there's, you know, there sound like a large number of people, but so from what I'm understanding, that you're actually causing the Earth to absorb energy from the solar flares in a harmless way. Is this what I'm understanding? Is that right?
What we're sort of doing is we're taking, like, the astral guys at the top are taking the harmful. Not even harmful energy. They're taking in the plasma, which is just like a basic energy, which isn't sort of, it's not destined to be anything. It's just like basically a lump of golden energy. And then basically they channel it, down to the next group, which, what I mean by channel it, they take it in and just send it as healing. And then the next group, they then send it as healing as well, all the way down to, which we call the people like the Earthers, which are, we put up about 25 photos, and these are made up from, like a few from each of the 16 groups at the moment, sort of ever growing because like there's many languages in the world. And, the reason we've got the many groups is because most people, well, not most people, but a lot of people don't speak English. So they are not sort of like cut out and a wall put up. If we can speak in their language, then other people can join, you know? So it's just a way of sharing it, greater. But, yeah, basically, it's just like, really, it's just three barriers of healing. And the third one, take it to different, some take it to different points of the Earth, you know, like some work on balancing like the, axes. If there's a problem, we was working on the stuff that happened in Indonesia. If there's a volcano or something like that, rather than just work on the one point, we try and work on all the points leading to that point. We try and work on the lay in like five or six points. Just so, like if you've got a nosebleed or something like that, you want to try and stop what's causing the flow. So we try and work. And what I mean is, we just try and send love to each of them places. Just for a specific amount of time. We try and do it for 35 minutes. And that's like globally. We have like a countdown clock. When it gets to nought, we just ask everyone to send love for 35 minutes.
All right, so there's it's not like you got a radio station going who's like someone directing you through it. It's just a moment to join together and to do something.
You could be driving in the car on the way to work, Joe.
Yeah, so you don't need to be like sitting in a lotus position with in front of your altar with all the chemicals and the and the incenses and the.
That's what we saw. We not led it away from that sort of thing, but we just tried to make it more universal.
That's right.
Easier. You know, like, you're only giving love at the end of the day. It's not a big thing. We've all got it in abundance, you know? It's just a way of all at one point, all at like the same second, the same time, globally, sort of from India, Australia, from Israel, from the States, everyone, just for 35 minutes, just giving love.
All right, and it's timing. Is the timing of it to do with when a solar flare is actually happening?
Yeah, we try and work everything out. Usually I get about sort of 4 weeks in advance information of what's looking at that sort of time when the flare will probably be ready. And lucky enough, I call it luck because like you get the information, but you can't really pinpoint a solar flare. But you get this information and they say there's going to be a window around this time. And then you act on it. But every time we've done the event, and we've done, we're on our sixth event now, every time we do this event, a solar flare happens exactly the same time, which is a little bit, well, it's good luck, I suppose, isn't it, you know?
Or it's a confirmation that actually, there is a conversation going on.
Yeah.
It's very interesting because, in the space after my shows on Sunday night is a healer, and we do healings and meditations. Frank Jordan is his name. We do healings and meditations, and he deals with the earth mind, and he calls it the earth mind think tank. So we delve into the morphological field of the earth. And so it's very interesting that your aspect of it is, because one of the things is that, in terms of the energy of earthquakes, that he's been helping the earth to channel the energy of earthquakes into a protective grid around the earth.
Yeah, well, see, that's how the grid used to work, you know, in a spiral effect. But, you know, like history and the stuff that's gone on in history has sort of created faults in the earth as such. So I see what you mean by what he's doing. That's a, you know, that's a really good way of looking at it and working with it.
So when you were talking about the solar flare, so I'm thinking, all right, this is another group working on another aspect of energetics that are generally unwanted but can be recycled into something useful. And the Golden Grid is our protection solar panel, you know. So if everybody works together and this Golden Grid, I mean, this is what you're saying, is that everybody knows about the Golden Grid, all the different groups, everybody says, you know, imagine a Golden Grid around the earth, and it's all the same meditation, isn't it?
Well, it is. To an extent, they say a Golden Grid doesn't exist, but the world's covered in ley lines. And in a way, right, they don't run to a perfect grid system, but in a way, they're the same points that we sort of run into. They're like different frequency bands that stretch around the Earth, which travel energy to the two different points, you know, like from the north to south poles, which basically keep the world spinning. And all we're doing, they run on a frequency, and all we're doing is by, as a healer, like a healer's perception, when you put your hands on someone, you're actually giving them the frequency that their body needs. And we're doing the same thing to the earth. We're giving gold energy, and then the earth takes what it needs from that. And what it doesn't need just dissolves.
So, with the earth energy grid lines. Now, I've learned a little bit about ley lines and things in my time. I spoke with a guy from the British Society of Dowsers many years ago, and he did my house, and I grilled him. You know, we hired him for a day, and I grilled the heck out of him. So, yeah. So I learned a lot from him about dowsing and ley lines. And there's these energy grids, the Hartmann and the... I was going to say the Mulder and Scully. No.
Different fields.
Yeah. Right. Different directions. There's one that says like north-south. Hartmann grid is yeah. north-south and east-west. Sorry, Steve, go on.
I do douse, and I'm registered as well, but that's like a different society to where I'm from. And they use some, well, it's like sort of sometimes speaking to doctors. They use some big Latin words and stuff like that. And it's like, right, that's basically the heart line. That's, you know, and it's just sort of because, the form that I used and where I done my apprenticeship was for an Ethiopian, thought tank as such. So, and they used to use like archangels and saints to memorize the lines with. So, I sort of use that sort of category, but yeah, the heart line basically, yeah. There's five main points that run through Great Britain, five main lines that, they call it, in Cambridge they notoriously call it the heart line, some people refer it to the line of St. Augustine. Some people call it the bloodline. There's a few sort of different names, but all meaning the same thing.
So, which lines then relate to the magnetic field of the planet? Like the flux lines.
Right. They all sort of make up a part, a percentage, you know? And they all play their part. What I mean is they run from the whole spectrum. Like if you was looking at like the full colour spectrum from like gamma to infra, it's the same thing with the frequencies. And you need like one to run at like say the heart line, it runs at the same as Venus and at the 5.23 frequency or hertz or whatever they however they measure it. But you need basically like the lines make up the same energy system as the human body, like the human organic body. It's very similar really to the Earth organic body. And it's different frequencies that basically, from pole to pole that keep everything, how would you explain it? Everything in balance really. It's like a huge organic body. And if you take away the, say the energy lines and replace them with the blood veins, in a way you've got a human body there.
So it's very much like the, those old, Chinese drawings of the human body and the acupuncture meridians, crisscrossing and so joining close. Together.
Absolutely. They're so close because with the, like the Chinese version, they have 2,400 points, which this relays back to the laser as well. You also have like 17 main points, which reversed like chakra points and main points again. So yeah, it's sort of in a way like a sort of duplicate version as such.
So you say that there are 25 points on the Earth that you're currently using. There are more, presumably, yeah? Or are you not doing it specifically, building like triangles and things like that in a huge spatial grid? It's, you know, it's more organic, yeah?
We have 25 Earthers for the events, but there's far many more points. You know, you have, like, there's 2,400 cross points, or where lays cross each other, and then that's sort of referring back to the chakra stuff that I teach about. There's 17 main sort of chakra points, you know, like the places like Stonehenge and the Aztec temples and stuff. They're what they call like main points, which they refer to like on the human body as chakras. Like your Stonehenge, places like that, they lay on like main crossing ways.
Okay, yeah, that's fair enough.
What they sort of say about them sort of points is, if you've got a straight line and you want to measure two straight lines, if you're out doing, you know, building a brick wall or anything like that, and you want to build a straight line, you do a circle and you put a middle point measure between that circle, you run a line down it, and then you've got something to gauge the line on, if you're measuring over a great distance. And the henges that are all over the world, not just sort of Stonehenge, but they all seem to act as like a data mine for these points, you know? I can't go into too much. As I said to you before, I'm doing five books at the moment. They're being sort of published and stuff, and they're releasing a lot of them, and I'm sort of held to talking about certain things.
All right. So we've got a list of taboo subjects.
Yeah, but not taboo.
Well, I mean, I'm very interested in your 17 chakra system. Are you talking about, like, the seven that we're aware of plus some other less major points?
Well, a lot of them are the ones that we are aware of, but they're a little bit more advanced, as such, than people were sort of first aware of it, if that makes sense.
Keep going.
There is extra ones, that people don't mention. It's kind of, the 17, chakras basically retract to the 17, like, chakra points of the earth. And all hold the same frequency, length. As well, like, Stonehenge gives off a frequency, and Easter Island gives off a frequency, and these are all, in line with the same points on the body.
Yeah, and those frequency bands are what we call the rays. This is what I talk about on my show. So
basically, they're measured in colour. The colour is still a frequency, isn't it? So
yeah, just a, and the rays are just another representation in the same way that we have colour and smell and texture. You're a little bit quiet. Okay, so up. So I'll just have to crank you up a bit. You're still not coming through amazingly loud there. But I've just upped your volume on the,
I should whisper and then go,
oh. Oh yeah. It's just like being in a band, you know. Or doing the sound for a band. You say, okay, guitarist, can you give me some notes? You know, give me your loudest notes, and they go ding 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 ding, because they know that you're going to turn them down, so they turn themselves right down, so that you turn the thing up, and then they crank themselves back up again when it just in the point when they want to really make a. But it's always too loud.
I wouldn't do that. I'm too nice for that.
So, Stephen Whiteside. And Global Healing Project, 17 chakras. So,
what I was going to say about that, sort of global healing is what we're trying to do as a meditation, a love thing, you know, like a random love thing. But basically, what we've said to everyone, because I'm sort of held at the moment, as I said, with a publisher and that. They're sort of a little bit funny about talking about this, and they're saying, well, we're releasing this soon, like, you can't talk about it yet. And it's like, okay. But, what we've said to everyone that sort of gets involved with the group, and we're not saying you have to be a member of the group or anything like that. We're saying, like, any groups that are out there that are doing the same, that feel, you know, in their heart that they would like to, like, sort of help with this. Come and take part, and then everyone that sort of takes part, what we do, we give them free healing, and we also give them a free activation, just for taking part, you know, like of the 17 chakras. So it's a way of teaching without mentioning the words as such, but that'll come in the next sort of month or so in the books. At least then I can start talking about things in the detail that should be spoke about, huh?
I've just got a new word, infotations.
I'll add that to my dictionary. funny words.
Remember where you heard it first. So, right. I'm still going to, because I'm interested in your philosophies. We talk a lot about these things on my show. I generally talk about the seven rays, which is this ancient teaching that came through the Himalayas, and is like this esoteric language that makes everything into frequency. And the law of vibration is the top one. You see, so then it starts at the one into the three into the seven. Or into the three, into the four, and then the two combine to make the seven. And then it goes off into the multitudes, and, you know, like, you've got the 12s, and you've got the 17s and the 23s. Do you have any 23 relations there?
Well, see, how I've been sort of taught, I've been taught all, you know, there's 29 that in connection with a DNA strand. But 17 of them are actual chakra points, and the other 11 points are meridian points. It's only when you've opened the 17 and you've got them in sort of like a correctness as such. But then once they're open and working correctly, then that infuses with the 11 meridians that haven't opened. And you could call them 29, but it wouldn't be true because only 17 of them are chakra points, and the others, the other 11, are more meridian based. The maps, there is maps sort of half available. If you look at a meridian map, for example, from sort of 4,000 years ago, they have the same points marked on them. It's just over the years, you know, some things are sort of rubbed out, aren't they? Forgotten, I think the word is, isn't it? Or hidden, even.
Oh, simplified.
Yes, but, you know, like, you don't need these other four, we'll keep them.
Yeah.
You go and live down there, son.
Oh, we'll knock out all these other ones so you don't need to bother about it.
Yeah, you don't need them. We've got ABC. That'll take care of that.
So, in terms of these meridian lines, do they form octaves above and below the regular wave band, or do they form a finer division of the same octave? You know what I'm saying?
It's definitely a finer visual of the same octave. It's just imagine, but you've got the argument, say, like the colours of the rainbow. Now, we only see like seven colours or some see ten, due to the colours that we can't see. But then you've got your gamma. And your infra colours, you know, like your infrared colours and your gamma colours, that also make up that band. Well, that's exactly, if we could see the band, we would see like 17 primal colours, bright. And then we would see like a sort of flare, fucking off flaring at the end, for the other, like, meridian colours. But, how I sort of been taught this, it's basically the full frequency, everything that makes up to the one point. How do I explain it? Just thinking of some words here to it's basically the full range of the spectrum. And some of the colours that we don't see, it doesn't mean the colours aren't there, it just means they're there, but at this time, we're not able to view them.
All right, so you are talking like an extended spectrum rather than it's the same spectrum, but it's divided finer, so like three shades of blue and three shades of green. You know,
there's always been a bigger spectrum. The spectrum's never changed. As such, it's always been from like infra to gamma, but and then somewhere in the middle we get our seven rainbow colours, which break down into three colours again. So the spectrum's always been there, but it's our view of it. Up until this sort of end of alignment, the energy was different upon the Earth, sort of like a more of a heavy energy, sort of keeping us from growing as such. But now the energy's sort of changed and it's becoming lighter. We're getting a bigger view on things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so we're extending our perception.
Yeah, just our perception's growing, yeah. So it is... a greater perception of things.
Yeah, good. So, we're most of us who are listening to this, who have gotten to this kind of thing, are aware we've got seven chakras, right? Yeah. Now, there are various teachings that say there are 12 chakras, and they talk about having chakras that kind of are above and below the seven that are within the body. Are your points all within the body, or do they also have the kind of above and belowness of them?
They're all within the actual body, within the power grid of the body. They add more to the existing, and there's other points that are sort of not covered that are there as such. I'm held too much. I want to just say, it's here, 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 and here, and this is it. But I did get a day before this saying, no, you can't mention that. You can't. And I suppose I've got to give them credit. They give me a good deal for this. So, but as I said, as soon as they've done their end and released this first one of that, I'll come and do a free show with you and that, you know. So we can explain and go into depth.
That's good. Well, you know, at least giving an overview of where you're coming from may benefit. And you know, of course, you can use this on a YouTube and distribute this on your websites and things like that. So, Global Healing Project.
Yeah, it's basically just called Global Healing. Really? So it sort of says it all in the name, doesn't it? Keeping it nice and easy in that.
Yeah, but many people, I mean, I've seen many, many groups, everybody talks about global healing, and everybody's putting their bits in. I mean, it's not like there's this kind of global council that says, okay, you guys can do the healing and you guys can't. It's just like you just put your mind onto a global level. You know, it's a kind of voluntary body, isn't it?
Yeah. In a way, we're doing it sort of slightly different. I see what you mean. In the way that I've been a sort of layman, a dowser for the last 13 years. So I've got a better perspective and picture of the lays and, the grid as such. So, when we're actually grounding this work, the people that are grounding, I can actually give them a map and say, well, because I actually say to them first, like, feel in your heart, feel which place that you should work, because you should do this to. That way you're keeping in the higher self. If everyone's working through their self, and they're all working through heart, it's like their higher self. And if they say to me, oh, well, there's been a lot of problems on the news lately, weather and stuff like that in this area. So I sort of try and point them to the points, of delays where they cross and stuff like that, that sort of focus on that point. And say three or four or five of them will work on that said point, while others can attend to other points on the globe. You know, so we can sort of what it is, where we do it through two bands, and where it's solar energy and it's channeled, it quantums the energy. So you can give like a huge blast with only a few involved. Like a feeling aspect to it.
Yeah, can you explain the mechanics of that in any way?
Yeah. Right, the solar energy, which comes off the sun anyway, where you're taking it in, like, when you take energy in as a healer, you're sort of quantuming the energy as you're passing it back out, just by channeling. So what's happened, where it's going through two bands before eventually going to the grounders and then coming out again, it's actually sort of being quantumed like three times.
What does quantumed mean?
It's that Einstein thing, isn't it? It's sort of, right, how do I explain this in an easy format?
So I mean, is it like a, I mean,
Look, like the duality of the ape, you know, the way that the ape, the movement of the ape, that's how the sort of healing works, because you're taking it in at one point, and then it's coming all the way back round through you, and then back out again. And they call this like a quantum, because it's an everlasting consistency.
So you're talking about like the infinity loop.
Yeah.
The lemniscate. Lemniscate, lemnisate. I never know how to pronounce that word.
I'm terrible technical, and I'm terrible with words sometimes. So I thought I'll give you enough. I'm going to reach JP.
Yeah. Come here, I'll grill you on them.
You've got a better chance of saying it than me.
Actually, where are you from? I'm from Bethnal Green.
Yeah, I'm from the same sort of area. Most of the family are from Bethnal Green. We moved down to Canning Town. They're originally from Ireland, you know, like, I don't know why we come over here, but we come over here. I don't know, tax-free over there as well. I just don't know.
Yeah, well.
I don't get my dad brought us over here.
Tax-free, beautiful land, you know, wonderful, wonderful skies, clean water, you know, green fields, lots of rain, but, you know, and you exchange it for Canning Town. Canning, a great place to leave, yes.
Definitely leave.
And Canning Town just says it all, really. It's the place where they put things in cans.
Yeah,
you know, they came off the docks and they put them in cans straight away, and it probably didn't smell very nice.
They still don't smell very nice up there now, do they? And the doctor about 50 years gone.
Okay, so we've got some feedback coming in through the chat room here, and here's from Wolf Baby. She says, where do you direct the healing to? Just into the grid?
It all depends. As I said to you, there's 25 grounders for each event, we call them. And some of them are working with people in hospitals with different diseases. And some of them are working on the actual lays. What I try and do a few days, obviously, before the event, I find out what the grounders are feeling in their hearts. I ask them in heart, where do you feel that Mother Earth needs healing? And they'll say to me, oh, this area and this area. And then I sort of look in the 25 and I'll think, hang on a minute, five of you are thinking of the same area. So I sort of say to them five, well, you think of, if you aim at that part and you aim at that part and you aim at that part, and then sort of go from there. But then we have some people, as I said, some people that have diseases like cancer and stuff like that. Because it's all, at the end of the day, it's all going into the earth. Everything gets grounded into the earth. So it doesn't matter whether really you're doing it on an actual lay point or they're sitting there in a hospital wing working with someone that's sort of on their way out. It helps. It's, in a way, it's just like what I've found with the people that are working with people with disease and stuff. You might be working with a client for 6 months, going in there every day and knocking yourself out. Well, the same energy that you could produce in that amount of time on your own, one of the grounders could come in and give them a 5 minute like, sort of blast that's equal to that. You know, so it's very beneficial in that way.
So that's the kind of there's loads of here we go. They're essentially like a main antennae and you know, aerials people, and those are the grounders. Yeah. And they act as distribution points, so people think of them as well?
Yeah, so what we do, sort of 4 days before at one of our events, what we do is 25 photos in the group, and they're the grounders for the event. What we ask the people to do is have a little feel over them, not a look as such. We ask them to feel over themselves and feel which people you think need the energy to do what they're doing. The reason we ask you to feel it is that way you're feeling for your higher self. You're really letting source direct you to where you should be doing it as such. We say to them, like, have one of the photos, two of the photos, or work on all 25 of the photos, whichever you feel is needed. So in a way, we're also leaving it to source to direct as well.
So it's a very spontaneous thing that you're doing here. And everybody's led to doing it in... And do people find that they do it in different ways? If they do a multiple number of meditations, that they do the thing in a different way every time?
That's why we've got so many different, well, different religions participating and different groups. One of the groups or one of the grounding groups, they're based in the Andes and they do it through like a yoga type thing. Everyone's got their own, like, how do I explain it? It's like sawing a piece of wood, yeah? I can give you a saw and say, yeah, JP, right? Follow me, this is how you cut the piece of wood, yeah? Right, but see, after I've gone, you'll think, wait a minute, that's too hard. Let me find my way of doing it. Yeah, you're going to find your own way, which is most comfortable for you. And that's what we try and sort of put forward. You know, like, this is the basis of it, taking gold energy and give it out to one of these as healing. And then by doing that, you get free therapy, free activation. But we leave them to choose who... You know, it's no good, like... What I've found with a lot of groups, there's too many masters, if you know what I mean. Everyone wants to, like, tell you how good they're doing and what they're doing and everything. But it's not about that. You know, it's about a load of people loving. So we try and basically ask them to follow their heart in it. If we're asking you to give a bit of love, which everyone's got in abundance type thing, it's best to follow your heart when you're doing this, you know?
Absolutely, because that's where your soul energy comes through. And if you follow your heart, your feet will surely follow them. And
just that everyone's in their own path. You know, like, no one's like, I'm better than you and you're better than, and you're this and you're... It's none of that, yeah? Because everyone's standing there. We're not... This isn't the person that done this. Everyone's worked together. Everyone's stood, you know, like, shoulder to shoulder and just give a bit of love. That's all it basically is.
And that, I believe, is the way of the future. Very good. Pure ceremony, pure love, no dogma.
Exactly. Well, I don't see the point in all that, you know, really, to be honest. That's not advancement, is it? That's not like an advanced group of collection of people, is it? You know, like, we're the power structure and you're... It hasn't worked for the last, you know, 3,000 years. You must have to ask yourself, it ain't going to carry on working for the future, is it?
Well, actually, it doesn't work for us.
Exactly, you know.
It works for them very happily, and that's why they don't want to give it up, because it's been working nicely for 6,000 years, isn't it? Yeah, it's a DOS.
10%, it's really well poured. No, that sort of thing, you know, like, just try not abolish it, because come on, that's life, bub, but just doing something different, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what we try and do. We have, as I said, it comes in three rings, like the meditation that we do. We ask everyone, like, on their first time, like, participate in the core, part, because some people, not some people, but, everyone takes on different stuff in life, and some people are healers, some people ain't healers, and some people take stuff on and don't realise they've taken that on. And so by going through the core, you actually get a really big healing, a really big deep healing, and this in turn activates certain parts. When it then comes to the next event, we can ask different people that participated in that part of the event, would they like to participate in another part now, like, would you like to be a grounder or would you like to do the astral work? Because each thing, we give them an activation, but when they're actually doing this work in that way, they're actually powering up their activation. You know, like adding energy to that part that they wouldn't have used in that way before. So it's sort of beneficial for everyone to sort of participate in different parts of it. And that way as well, you're not getting, do you know, like the leader scenario, you're still getting, do you know, like everyone's equal.
Well, it's just that nobody needs to tell everybody what to do if everybody knows what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all guidance as opposed to, you know, get in there and do that and you do this. It's only going to get your back up, isn't it? You're only going to say, like, after a few goes, I'll tell you what, mate. We won't go through it, anyway.
Oh, yes. I've come up against that once in a while. Even on the other side of that, too. So I have to admit, you know. But so this is what I'm seeing here is something that has been kind of forecast, let's put it this way. This is the way of working that is according to the seventh ray of ceremony, of just everybody knows what to do, and knows their part in what to do, and just does it when it's time to do it. And they have a good sense of timing and knowing when to do it.
Well, it's just when you think about it, it's like love, isn't it? I mean, everyone's got it in abundance. Yeah. But when you look at this world, you've either got love or you ain't got love. And if you ain't got love, like, you're sort of on a downer, you know, the whole world's ending for you. And if you have got love, you're sort of like one of them smiley people that walks around at me all the time, isn't you? So, really, everyone knows how to love. Everyone's got it in abundance. Everyone can give it, and the more of it you give, the more of it you receive. So, in a way, the seven ray kind of scenario, or the ancient writings from different creeds, do kind of summon it up. See, do you like the word there, summon?
You're inviting me. So, yeah, well, and then it concentrates in the heart, and that's where it kind of all starts. That's where the spark is.
And by following your heart, you're following the true path as such, isn't it? You're letting that guide you. Like, a lot of these sort of meditations and stuff like that, you'd be right in the sort of meditation, they ask you to think. And the thing is, you've got to use the other side of your brain to do that, so really it's sort of knocking you out of the flow that you're flowing in.
That's right. It's much better to say, imagine. In fact, instead, the moment I say the word imagine, a blue aeroplane flying through a green sky, you know, and suddenly there's all these different pictures, you know. Did I just say a blue aeroplane flying through the green sky? That's weird. Anyway, sorry about that image. But anyway, but what we just did is flip into the right brain and then kind of flip back in and say how stupid that was.
To see what I'm saying, and it does, like, if you think about it, if you're in a meditation, in other words, you're in your higher self, and all of a sudden now you've got to think of, oh, make sure that you're in a box, make sure the box is this colour, and make sure, you can't, come on, what do you want us to do, meditate, or do you want us to think? And it's, you know, like, so, with this, we just ask, look, everyone can love, it's easy to do, do you know what I mean, like, If you can't do, like, healing in that form, just love that person for 35 minutes. That's all we ask. Because that generates a frequency, and all them frequencies combined and added has an effect. Like, the cause and effect.
Yeah, and, of course, because it's travelling across the land, there's things that are between, you know, all the different nodes, and those areas become cleared. As these energies, as these vibrations pass through, they ripple through, and it creates a cleansing.
Well, it's kind of funny as well. After our first event, because that was like the information that I got on the first one when we first sort of started that, they showed me a picture and asked me to draw, you know, like draw how this map's going to work and how you want everyone to be. And we put this map up there with the sun exploding at a certain point and everything else. We put that up 6 weeks before the first event. When the solar flare happened on that, on the same night that we'd done the first event, the solar flare was found in exactly the same place as we put up in the picture 6 weeks beforehand. So, you know, like, there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. That's another one, isn't it? Than meets the eye. But, yeah, there's a lot more to this than meets the eye, yeah.
What was the, where, how do you get your forecast? That's the thing.
Well, I do a lot with, as I said, the laser sight and stuff like that. And I can go into more detail about that sort of once this book's out and stuff. But I use that to, it works in a similar way to astrology. But it's sort of in a backwards format. And I use that to do the forecasts. Because basically flares, all them sort of things do work on a circuit as such. So what I try and do is aim for the circuit so we can get there at the same point. Sometimes, well, on the last one, we sort of got there too quick. It was too early, the last one. It sort of came halfway through. So, but we still got it, but the same with the first one. What we do is afterwards, then we sort of put up all the local weather readings as well. We put up the sort of, satellite weather readings before, the events. So everyone can see, oh, well, yeah, it's very dramatic out there at the moment and a lot of stuff happening. And then we put out the weather effects, you know, like 24 hours after we finished the event. It's always calm. It's no solar winds, no explosions. No, and the funny thing is, after every event, you usually find the sun is quiet for 48 hours. This doesn't seem a lot of time, but it takes 48 hours for this energy to reach the Earth. So it's like 4 days of quiet after every event, which is, it's eye-opening really for us because it's never really been done like this before. So where it is that new, when the confirmations that we're getting after the events is like, wow, you know, it's just like it blows you away.
So are you saying that after the after a solar flare where you've done one of these meditations, the Earth behaves differently from when it does when you don't do a meditation?
Exactly. NASA made a statement on our first event. I'll have to fact you through the details of it. I've got them on the Facebook, but after our first event, NASA actually explained this as a statement. They dropped a statement to the world type thing. There was an unusual energy in space last night. We can't explain this. There was a solar flare of an X10 or something like that, which is a very high solar flare. But there was no plasma leakage. There's no solar wind. Everything's flat. And they actually put it down to a strange energy in space.
Well, if you can do a few of those, you know, we may have some kind of... I mean, you see, the way I see it is that the human race is like the energy that moves across the corpus callosum of the planet, the planetary mind. We're the cells of the planetary brain. And the more we... actually define our own intent and project that into the Earth will, you know, we are part of the Earth and the Earth does as we wish because that's what we want. And that's what she wants and that's what she does. So instead of being bombarded by a solar flare, she absorbs the energy and uses it to charge herself up and make herself stronger.
That's what they're really there for. See, the Earth is like an organic body, the same as ours, or my sort of principle of it as well. I see it as another organic body, and when she needs healing, she basically asks the major energy system in her solar system, which is the sun. That's why you'll find sometimes the sun fire a flare at, say, Venus, and then it bounce off Venus and hit the Earth. So it's hitting the Earth with a pure, like, frequency of love. Now, it's all right for the earth. She can take that. She can, handle that sort of thing. But it's the life forms on the earth that sometimes have a problem with that, you know. A lot of people were feeling the sickness and stuff like that, when the alignment and stuff was happening. Due to the frequencies, basically, mindsets, where we're sort of forced down and held down in some spectrums, and other spectrums are lifted. What you sort of find is, some people were feeling like a sickness where they had a heavier energy in their body, where others wasn't experiencing this, where they were channeling in and still using a lot of their original senses. They wasn't feeling it as dramatic. All we're trying to really do as well with a meditation is try and stop the sickness for everyone, you know?
Oh, I see.
Sort of try and channel that force. So it's, the earth's still going to get it, but sort of gradually, you know, like a dropping a feather out, you know, so it sort of gradually comes down instead of a full force, like a full flood on everyone.
I see. So, like a cushioning.
Yeah.
So the image that I've had is like this kind of a big ball of gold wire outside the planet that is able to absorb the plasmas, and then between it and the earth is a form of aerogel that keeps everything just very, very gently held into place.
Yeah.
A very, very light kind of bubble wrapping.
That's a really good way of explaining it.
So that it's kind of built up through the weeks of producing Frank's show. You know, at 1 o'clock on Sunday morning. It's a kind of collective image.
That sounds very interesting, the other chat and the show and that.
Yeah.
So we'll have to connect.
Yeah. Well, just tune in and bring your people in. It's another global healing group, and it's about networking. It's about bringing all these groups together.
That's what we're trying to sort of do ourselves. So, yes. Like, perhaps it would be a good idea to sort of all come together.
Yeah. Well, Frank broadcasts on... almost every day around 5 o'clock in the afternoon UK time. It's morning for them, and also at 1 a.m. on Sunday nights with me.
Well, we'll have to try and have a look at sort of we've sort of booked in for a few events at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to try and put something together where we it seems like a good idea, doesn't it?
You yeah,
it's another wall dissolved, isn't it?
You know? So, listen, do you like Bob Marley?
Oh, I love him, Bob.
So, it's time to take a break. I need to go and get a cup of tea and, do the honours. I'm enjoying speaking to you, Stephen. So, let's get into some positive vibrations with Bob Marley.
Once again, Bob Marley and the Wailing Wailer. You get down and you quarrel every day. You're singing prayers to the devils, I say. Woy, woy, woy. Why not help one another on the way? Make it much easier.
Just a little bit easier.
Way. You know what I mean? picking up now. You're picking up.
Excellent, excellent. Spirit in the sky and positive vibrations. This is what we're talking about, positive vibrations in the sky. So, how are you doing? Stephen?
Ah, right, sorry, I didn't realise you was talking to me then.
Yeah, okay, I'll say, Stephen, how are you doing? So, Stephen, how are you doing?
Ah, I'm doing fine, bud. Doing fine. Always doing fine. Or good, should I say.
Good, good. So, Global Healing Project, looking at the Earth as a living being that we're part of and that we simply need to love. In fact, we simply need to just find someone who we find it easy to love. Quite an interesting... You've got a website, which is a Facebook page, and is there a website for outside?
Yeah, I've got a website as well. I've got sort of most of this information on explained and stuff. I've got sort of like a private sort of charity website, which has got the links to all the Facebook groups on it anyway. So if you had a look through that, it'd give you like a basis on the lays, it'd give you a basis on the energy systems and how they work together. On there, there's a few other things that we put on there, bit of like sort of useful information. We've got the cures for hay fever, save everyone, saving tablets. We've got different sort of self-meditations to work with fatigue and depression. We give a few things like that away on the website. And then just like a sort of variation of information from tree lore, and a lot of people sort of these days into wands and dowsing this and dowsing that. Sort of everyone's sort of trying to get involved. So on the website, we've actually got like a tree lore page, which each tree is a different vibration. Each person is a different vibration. So sort of using that, you can find the correct tree for yourself. If you're going to make one of these dowsing rods to help with your healing or something like that, you don't really want to be using a tree that's going to make you ill. No, you want to be using the correct stuff. So we've got that sort of information and stuff like that on there. And then we've got the links to the global healing events.
Interesting. I'd be interested in the tree information. I've got these lovely trees. I've got a rowan tree and a cherry tree in my garden.
Oh, wow. It's cherries.
It's lovely, love. Well, apparently, where I am was a valley full of cherry trees.
You're near Moray, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in Moray, yeah. Right. In the middle of it, the heart of it.
Moray's quite a famous little island, isn't it?
It's interesting you call it an island. I see what you mean. It's bounded by two rivers.
Yeah.
One's the Findhorn and one's the Spey, I think. You do have to cross bridges to get here.
Yeah.
In fact, you have to get bridges everywhere.
Oh, it was an island. I actually, because I've only been there once fishing, family that I've done some work for, and I actually thought it was an island. So I'm sorry about that.
All right, no, it's not an island. I mean, it's not that remote. although there are islands, and it's between Inverness and Aberdeen. And
it's a major energy point, in fact.
Yeah, it's... Try not to flood the place this week.
Okay.
Snurp, snurp, snurp. No, but... he said... I was doing a show last week. He said, it's all right, Dad, I'm going to have a bath. I was like, all right, go. Lovely, lots of hot water over here. And he comes back sheepishly an hour later. Dad, that overflow doesn't overflow. It goes straight onto the floor. And the place was flooding.
overflow.
It doesn't have a drain behind it. It just goes on the floor.
It's not an overflow, that's the design problem.
It was very upsetting. He found it very upsetting. And I understand. I think I might have a solution, but it involves a core drill and probably a GPS. But anyway,
let's add for a station. You know, you look for tradesmen. you'd like to come and help some people that just want to give love out there, and you're looking for a tradesman. But no, getting back to Moraine, yes, yeah, a major energy point, isn't it?
Yes, and I'm near a place called Finhorn. And it's a famous place because, aside from being a Tavistock project, it's a centre for New Age thinkings and teachings, and some fabulous architecture. Yeah,
it's an amazing place.
Yeah,
it's got a lot of history as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, and where I am is kind of just kind of further towards the mountains than there, and right near what I believe is really the true energy point, which is the ancient Pluscarden Abbey.
Right.
Or Pluscarden, people, you know, it's written Pluscarden, which is a weird word. It's not a Scottish word, Pluscarden. It's a very odd word.
In a way, when you think about a lot of Norwegians sort of Black and Air, and Moray is mainly where most of the kings and queens that now sit on the British throne once lived, didn't they, really?
Yeah.
It's quite a point.
I like to think I'm in the Crown Centre.
Definitely.
Yeah, at least the...
Of England, anyways.
Anyway, so here I am, and I've got this lovely little cottage, and I'm growing vegetables, and I'm being very revolutionary by trying to squeeze my way off using all the big grid things. I don't know what to do about that. I'm just going to have to buy, you know, I have to keep having a landline.
There are no drums.
But anyway, there's a beautiful natural energy here. And so it may be.
That's what we should really be doing with the lanes, really.
Yeah.
One I can talk about at present time. You'll probably be familiar with this one. We actually call it foundation that I'm from refers to it as the Lay of St. Michael. It comes up through France, you know, through the centre of Paris, you know, like all them buildings are sort of built on it. But no one knows it's there. But anyway, it comes up, and then, you know, like, when it leaves France, because of the map system that they use is really from west to east, like a point type thing. So Britain would be on the right side, France is on the left. So you've got St. Michel on one side, as it crosses our channel, enters Britain, it hits St. Michael's now. As it heads on up the country, it goes through a few points in London before crossing over through Watford, and hitting, the Tor before sort of going up the country. But what was I going to say about that? They've got the old, London, Houston to, Glasgow, rail link type thing on it. It's been on it for the last 70 years or something. But I don't know if you've noticed yourself, JP. I only sort of noticed sort of recently the extent of it, but like from London to Lancaster is like 2.5 hours on the fast train. Now the M6 runs sort of directly past it, directly like by it, just doesn't stop as much as the train does. And if you've got a clear run on the M6 at 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever, Lancaster is about 4 or 5 hours drive. If you go from one of the other London stations, to say Ipswich, now Ipswich is only 40 miles outside of London. That takes 3.5 hours on a train, on the same fast train, you know. And see the power lines, they're also, well, the Romans built roads on them. You know, I call them their roads, but actually the roads have existed like far way beyond the Romans. But they, also, like, the energy that comes from them makes things, like, lighter, makes things faster. Sort of like, in a way, quantum's the speed of things. And that's sort of proven, like, every day when you look at the trains and you measure the distances between other trains and their hourly things. None of the other ones, sit on that lay either. You know, like, some of the lays are covered up with buildings, and some of them are covered up with routes. And, that's just one example of that route.
Interesting. So there's a lot of infrastructure that is, the images that I'm getting is like, almost like, one of those, like, it's like a torture instrument, you know, it's like a caliper that is grabbing hold of you, grabbing hold of the land, kind of like, yeah, iron spikes.
Well, in a way, like forcing it not to work in its correct manner, would have a diverse effect on everyone around it, wouldn't it? But it might just keep everything down and keep everything together for that, you know, like, I don't know about all that, but for that 10 or 20% that know about it all. You know, I don't know, for argument's sake. But with delays, they just, it's like, another example, if you go to Karachi in India, like, everyone reports like the Ayurvedic healing and how it's so wonderful there, the fruit, people go there from all over the world for different cures of different things. But actually it's, major lay passes directly through it as well. And because of ruptures from many, many centuries ago, the lay actually leaves the land, leaves the depths of the land, comes up, sort of goes out of the earth for something like 300 yards and then goes back into the earth. And everyone in that area goes there for this supersonic healing. If you're living on that lay, with that sort of energy, at that frequency, they actually refer to that lay as the lay of Mary, because it's a lilac type lay. The healing colour. Basically, people that go there have wonderful cures for things. Really, it's actually the energy that's in the earth that's actually doing that healing, you know? You just sort of find, that with all of these lays, you find, different things built upon them that, you know, like give energy to them things.
Mm-hmm.
Just funny enough, the same lay that I'm talking about, the St. Michael, it actually runs directly through, where you're based in the way, before sort of up to the plate.
Where does it, I mean, because like, we're on the low coast, there's the south coast of the Murray Firth, that big wedge-shaped water.
Yeah.
Right at the top of Scotland.
From Glasgow, it moves about 12 degrees or something. I know it runs directly through Murray, and I only sort of know that sort of by chance. Used to work for an English family that are from Murray themselves, and I was doing some work up in the place where the Smokies come from. I can't think of it now. Just up above Dundee, over that coastline.
One of those Killy Crankies or something, yeah.
I can't fit a Smokies. They're really up for these, like, fish. And they're smoked. Oh, gosh. My cup of tea. Mm-hmm. There weren't no decent tea up there either. But anyway, I was invited up to Moray for some fishing. That's why I thought it was an island. And I'm not really a fishery person anyway, but I do a sort of lot of work in London for this family. And they invited me up there, so I sort of went over there, and that's when I was sort of got all my maps with me, because I was doing some work over the other side, some dowsing work, and I realised that they just invited me to where, like, the major point in Scotland was. I was quite thrilled about that. They're there fishing, and I'm like, can we go and have a look at these? Look at these.
Come and look at the ancient artifacts, yeah. In fact,
that church that you just mentioned, that sort of springs to mind as well, because I was like, please take me there, we're fishing.
Yeah, it's, well, there's a different kind of fishing, isn't it? You know, you're fishing in different kinds of rivers. But yeah, this is a very hunting, shooting, fishing kind of area. People are really, that's the main kind of thing that rich people come and do here. You know, they come along, basically they come up and kill things that live here.
You've got some major families there as well, haven't they? Do you know, like, British aristocracy type people are based in Moray as well.
Well, there's Balmoral as well. It's not far.
Not far, is it?
Yeah.
So, it's in a way, when you think like the line of strength and of power runs sort of directly through there, and that's what I'm saying. Balmoral is not, you know, it's not. I don't think they sort of wanted to live there, but the coldest part for no reason. You know? In Scotland, it lay sort of from Glasgow, it comes sort of further near the earth line. So more of the effects, that you'd feel with that, it's kind of like Scottish football, really, isn't it? You find the Scottish a quite a strong breed.
Yeah.
When you think about it, like the line of strength, like runs near the earth's surface for most of Scotland. It's, you never know, do you?
Yeah, and there is a great deal of strength to be found here on many levels, and it's it's got rugged beauty,
some places are like a cold stone. It's a lovely place, don't get me wrong. The thing I love about Scotland is like, sort of get out of the car, and you can smell. You know, you can smell flowers, bud. You can smell like wildlife. As opposed to London, but.
you don't really describe the smell of London. Not really. But
you
don't
want to smell in London. Wear one of them masks.
Yeah. Oh, it's gross. You know, like I said, I was born there, and well, I live here 600 miles away, so hi. I'm sorry?
You say it all in that little line.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, here I live in a place where there's clean air, no chemtrails, no nothing, very little sonic pollution, apart from the odd. There is an RAF base here, but I can't complain because I practice with my band on it. RAF Lossiemouth, but we do get the odd jet ripping the sky into every few hours. Yeah, sometimes. Anyway, meanwhile, global healing, global grid. Interesting that there's this common, and I'm going to be bringing this up with Frank in the next hour. After the show, no doubt, because often the things that he's talking about merge with the things that we're talking about, and so
it'd be nice if you could mention it, because I have a chat to him, see like if there's something that we could all do together, you know.
Yes, well, sure, just
everything benefits everything at the end of the day, doesn't it?
That's right. That's right. Well, we've got pages on Facebook, and we can just, you know, just interchange links. And
what we're doing as well, JP, I forgot to tell you about this. Some of us have been doing live meditations, and what a few of us have been doing is going down to different points of the grid system in Great Britain. About the five major lines, we started off, we've done a place called OC. A lot of the places, they're not really mentioned in history until you look them up. And then you find out, wow, look at the history to do with them. You know? We've done OC Island, which is the sort of church there is they say a few thousand years older than Stonehenge, you know. Yeah, you can sort of only find that sort of stuff through the locals or when you look at the old maps. So we done the first meditation from there. Then another point where another lay comes in, which they refer to the that was the lay of Mary, which crosses goes up to Glastonbury, the tour, or crossing over through Ireland. Then we done another video from a place called St. Augustine's Lay, which first place St. Augustine landed in the UK, where sort of he brought Christianity with the apostles, being an apostle, yeah. But it's the said line, there was rumours of Jesus sort of coming back around and sort of travelling up through Britain. So it's also referred to as the bloodline. So we've done like a little video which will show you the history on the place. Just so other people like that are getting involved and look for themselves and sort of learn stuff for themselves as well, you know. The last one that we've done at St. Paul's in London, because that's where all the five lines cross. And we've been involved, you know, like Greenwich, because like a lot of people say, well, there's no information about these things. You only have to go to Greenwich, really, where time's set, you know. There's loads of information. It's sort of everywhere you look.
There's Earth Stars. Have you read, presumably you've seen Earth Stars?
Yeah.
It's a marvellous coffee table book. That describes it's just a bunch of maps with patterns on them, but where all the points on these geometric forms were. There's a massive map of London, the whole of London.
Well, if you go to Greenwich, directly you walk through the gates of basically Greenwich, where time is GMT. There's two circles on each side of the gate. One's the meridian lines, timelines, which is Admiral Time. The water as such, and the other one's the ley lines. It's got all the points. Obviously, you need to put that onto a map and this map and everything else, and you get all the points. So there is a lot of information there. It's just there's not a lot of dowsers anymore. There's not a lot of people that use this information. It's sort of a dying. A dying way, you know. It was used a lot, like with the old farming and stuff like that. But it's something that's sort of dying a death now. And there's not a lot of people interested in it anymore.
Really, I use it all the time.
I know. Like some of the new age people are very involved. Cambridge is the only university that are doing courses with it anymore. You know, it's just like thatch houses, basically.
Yeah, and proper plastering. I have a friend who's, and one day I'll bring him on the show, and we'll talk about plaster, and yeah. You'll be fascinated.
It's because it's the same stuff that makes pyramids, isn't it?
Yes, alchemy. Lime. Lime.
What's the main stone? What's the stone that they used to use?
Limestone.
Alabaster.
Alabaster.
Alabaster, that's it. Loads of it in Scotland, mined over there. Alabaster, that's the main ingredient in it, in plaster.
Yeah, you've got an odd sound in the background.
Have I?
It's like a... Have you got a feedback going on?
Is that any better? Sorry. Is that all right now? Sorry.
Yeah, that's better, yeah. That was...
In my technical staff there, very good.
I'd like to thank your technical staff as well. So we got half an hour to go, I'll just see if there's any questions in the chat room here.
I was going to say to JP.
Go ahead.
Also, we could launch it as like a little competition or something like that. We was going to do an event on like a random sort of act of kindness. And what we was going to do is an event across the group where we was like the 60s flower power type idea. Either give out, you know, like five roses or you know, five pieces of paper with smiley faces or a heart on them. What we was going to do is ask the listeners, if they could give us an idea, you know, like, five flowers or a smiley face, something like that. The reason we was going to do five of is our first event that we ever done was on the 5th. So we thought, well, in connection with everything, keeping everything sort of in flow as such, we was going to sort of ask your listeners if perhaps one of them could text in, you know, like, or, phone in and let us know what they think that we should, you know, use for this event.
In terms of physical, what do you mean? How do you mean exactly? What you'd use for the event?
What we're going to do is set up an event in our groups, like a physical event, where we ask all our members to go and give, you know, like five flowers or five smiley faces to five random people in the city near to them. Just, you know, just giving a bit of love out to people that, you know, like just a random act of love. But what we was going to ask is for the listeners of the show, if they can think of something like, should we use flowers? Should we give out hearts? You know, like, should we give out a Pacific flower? Should we give out bottles of water? Or an apple? You know, like, just something like, what do the listeners feel would be a good thing to give to people? Do you know, like, I know everyone does, like, acts of random kindness, you know, like smiling, opening the door for someone, something like that, but we was going to do it as like a sort of, just like, not a, just a fun event type thing.
Well, see, any ideas? So have you, could you repeat exactly in sort of a little shorter form what your idea is, or what you want people to come in with?
Yeah, what we want people to come in with, we're going to put an event together within the groups, asking the people in the group to go and do like a random act of kindness as an event. Where they go to a city centre near them and just give out five items, freely to who they feel like in the street, anyone. So, and what we're asking the listeners sort of for, what do the listeners think we should give out? Should we give out an apple to five people or should we give out flowers, like the old flower power from the 60s? What do the listeners think that we should, give out for these sort of random acts of kindness?
And, you know, something that is beyond suspicion. So, like, you know, maybe an apple, like, might be poisoned or something like that, you know. So, yeah, something that can be completely harmless. What's completely harmless?
And like a smiley face, a heart, a piece of paper. No? Something simple and nice. You never know. It could be been a sack at that time. You just had a big argument indoors or something. You're walking out, you're feeling terrible, and someone comes up and gives you a heart on a piece of paper. It might just, you know, it might just calm you down, mightn't it?
Yeah. So it might be something you could. So we got some starting to come in, actually. We've got a lovely audience, you see. We're really up on this. One suggestion is a white feather. Another suggestion is something solar golden, looking for flowers and such. Been there, done that. Feather is cute. Good golden if possible. Sunflowers. Sunflowers. See, carrying around five sunflowers is a bit of a task.
Imagine it, wheelbarrow as well.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe the smaller ones, what are they called? Daisies. Big daisies, but not the sunflowers.
Plenty of them in Britain, isn't there? Might get a four-leaf clover as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, maybe just something ordinary. You know, a clover with a clover flower. Something really just ordinary, or a piece of chamomile. Actually, chamomile grows everywhere. And is wonderful and has a beautiful aroma. And it's very calming.
They are the daisies, really, aren't they, chamomile?
That's, No, the chamomile's got it's got these little orange flowers, like little globes. And it's got a sweet smell. It smells of chamomile. which is, you know, it's a...
It's never flowered, you know? Right. That's what the flowers look like.
It doesn't... There are no petals. It's like 4,000 tiny little orange petals arranged in a pom-pom. And it grows in the harshest of environments. You know, like in the place on the side of the road where the grass can't quite grow anymore, the chamomile is growing. Yeah. And it's a very interesting little... You can actually grow a lawn of this stuff. And it's gorgeous to walk across.
Wow, you sound like...
Imagine a golden orange lawn of golden chamomile.
Well, especially after some of the nights that we have, definitely.
Well, you know, we've started, the sunflowers. If you want to give sunflowers to people, by all means, I'm not one to restrict anybody, you know, do what you like.
We just thought, something to, you know, like bring the show in with the group, you know, just something to add to the listeners, to involve them, really, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like your idea. Be like paint a heart on a piece of paper, you know, and go and give five of them out or something, you know. But we just thought, well, like this idea came from one of the ladies in the group, as it happens, that's already sort of done something like this and sort of suggested it. I said, yeah, come on, let's do it as an event and get everyone involved, you know. And then I thought, when I came on here, I thought we might as well sort of offer, you know, what should we give out as a competition type. You know, just getting more and more people involved, really.
Excellent, yeah. And Gypsy the Wheeler says, chamomile's wonderful for the nerves. Very soothing. Have a question for you. Any idea how many crossing ley lines that churches or stone circles are built on? So, like, how many ley lines crossing does it to make a proper, you know, sacred-type site?
Right, like sacred sites, they've always got three and over, yeah, that cross on them. The 17 points, there's always three major lays that cross. Can go up to seven depending on a specificness. But England, out of the whole wide world, probably why they make GMT from here and time starts from here, is the only country in the world that has five major lays that cross it. All the other land masses, we look at America for an example, only has two major ley lines across it. When you look at Russia, only has three that form near it, and only two cross over Russia. So, but there's sort of quite a splint off. There's the major points or the major lays. And then there's like what you get for fords, like underground rivers. Same with the lays, you get like points where they can come to like a dead point and they split. And then you get like a thread point. And you find the thread points, what sort of mimics with the meridians. They're the sort of 2,400 sort of points that's where you sort of find churches and stuff like that, Bill. But, obviously, before the churches were there, they were henges themselves and temples and stuff. And just, you know, like, as a new civilization comes along, they sort of get rid of the parts and build their own stuff, don't they? You know, they don't want to be living in someone else's sort of complex as such, do they? So they make their own.
Indeed. Interesting. So, Wolf Baby is saying, I make little felt angels. How many do you need?
Probably about 10,000, 15,000. Only a few. How much time has Wolf Baby got? How long does it take? No, if someone sort of, you know, anything, like, I just thought, like, in a way, that just, you know, like, it involves, like, us with you guys as well, doesn't it? You know, like, brings everyone together for that, you know, that instant, doesn't it?
Well, how about five items that you've made yourself, giving to random people?
That is a good idea as it happens. That's a very good idea. See, you, see, I told you, you are very intellectual. You are very...
Grass doesn't grow on a busy street.
On your street, doesn't sound like grass grows at all. It's more like what the flowers called.
Only chamomile grows.
Well, what do you expect? You're walking on orange every day, it's TV. Yeah, that's a really good idea, I think. I'll get to work on it.
Yeah. And that would be interesting, to do that on the same day that you knew there would be a solar flare. A very spontaneous thing.
Yeah. Well, what we try and do is we try and do the meditation for them events, because we just try and channel the pressure that they can cause, you know. Instead of, as I said earlier, like letting them go down in a bang, you know, like just try and comfort them down. So we try and do a meditation type thing at every solar flare as such, or the main ones that are forecasted for that month. But still, yeah, still, we want to do something in between them days, you know, like a fun day as such. And yeah, that's a really good idea. I'll be on it. You'll see.
Well, it's lovely. You want ideas, I tell you, you want ideas, you come to the right place. We're on Wolf Spirit Radio and No Borders Radio, we're all about solutions. We're all about empowering the people and giving them enough to work for themselves, you know?
Yeah, definitely. That's what we try and do as well with the videos that we do of the events. We try and, different people, like, obviously doing from their hometowns and stuff like that. And we try and, give them, the local history, do you know? These are the places, you know, this is, have a look for them in a history book, you'll find them, do you know?
Mm.
And do a bit of research for yourself, because then it's involving everyone, it's getting, you know, it's just opening a little bit more, isn't it?
Yeah, so, well, we've got about 8 minutes left on the programme, and...
You think as well, it's our 8-8-8 event as well coming up, and we're on 8.
Oh yeah, here we go. Question: are there leys in Leighton, Leightonstone, and Ley Street? Yes, indeed. In fact, why you say those three names? My sister used to live in Ley Street and now lives in Leighton.
So yeah, well, Leighton's a very famous area for the leys, isn't it? Like we know that. Well, a lot of people know that from watching the YouTube and the Olympics, you know? There's a lot of information on that already. But keep tuned in.
Yeah.
Or go to our YouTube channel, because the video that we're releasing about St. Paul's in the next few weeks, that's got like the five major lays sort of run through it. That can sort of show the points of where they run up the country as well. So I can see what sort of lays run through.
Okay, so how do people find you and find the distribution of all this information you've been talking about?
Right. As I said to you, the website that I gave you, the www.anointedone.co.uk, that one can get, it's got all the information on there and stuff like that. It's got the email contacts. We do the readings and healings and stuff like that as well, but mainly if you go to the back page on that, it's got all the groups, all the global healing groups, because obviously people speak different languages as well, so got the different language groups, and just tap on it, it'll take you straight to the group. We've got a like page as well on the Facebook and my page and stuff like that as well. But just hit on one of the links and you'll find yourself there. Ask anyone. There's always information in the groups explaining when an event, because we've set up like groups as such. People say, why don't you start a big channel of that? There's no point, is there? Just give another. Facebook's got all this on there, so we started it as groups on Facebook. That way, enter one of the groups, and then we've got like events. See what event you'd like to participate in, and then just join the event.
Well. We've got a couple more. So there's a suggestion here: get kids to paint their version of a heart, then send them to be given out, saying, "This is from Cheryl, age 7 in Glasgow," etc.
Ah, coming out of the mouth of babes. No, that's.
That would be sweet, wouldn't it? That would be really lovely, just to be able to.
Yeah.
You could get a classroom. You get a classroom to send, put them in an envelope and send them to New York.
Oh wow, that's what I'm saying. We've got Global Healing, like based in the States. Well, we've got based in India, in Australia. So that's what we could sort of, that's what we're sort of our ideaing on. You know, like if you give us a sort of idea like that one is something that's easily done. You know, and it brings love to people that might not have felt that love that day, innit?
Yeah, great idea. Regarding ley lines and all this stuff, I would recommend any listener who's interested in this stuff to go and read the book by Alfred Watkins. It's called The Old Straight Track. The Old Straight Track. Go read it and you'll understand everything all about ley lines, why they are, what they are, how it works, how words are formed and names are formed of British places, names and all this stuff, and how we are actually much more close to the spirit of the land than we think we are.
Definitely. And when my books are released, don't worry, I'll be sending them to you, bub.
Excellent. So, we've got a few minutes left. Let's see, are there lays and lays and lays? Yeah, so anyway, so that, yeah, regarding the ley line stuff, that's great. Thanks to Pete and for all your suggestions, and that's great. Let's have a quick look in the... I have so many. There's the Black Watch, Keswick, fantastic. Yes, Circle 360, mountain in the shape of a mother laying on her back, facing boobs. Seen it with my own eyes. Excellent, Black Watch. And there we go, yes. So it's been a very interesting show. We've had a lot of lively comment. Thank you, everybody, for participating. This has been Ever Beyond. Coming up next will be Frank Jordan and the Earth Mind Think Tank Group. Do visit, is it www.theanointedone?
No, it's just anointed, it's www.anointedone.co.uk.
Is that one. Number one or O-N-E?
O-N-E.
Right, so anointed, A-N-O-I-N-T-E-D-O-N-E, .co.uk, not .com, but .co.uk.
No, with a British version, bro. Unfortunately, no. We are. It's just a charity, you know.
Yeah.
Like running it through the charity is, you know, at the end of the day, in a way, everyone's anointed, isn't they, with the spirit. So, you know, like everyone that's part of it, you know, like it's a way of saying it's a spiritual thing without saying like we're spiritual, you know.
Yeah, and that we're all one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Stephen Whiteside, thank you very much. It's been lovely to finally get to have a conversation. We had a kind of
full start a
few months back, but we're on the road. So thank you, everybody, and stay tuned.
Yeah, thanks very much as well.
We'll see you all next week, and I'll see you tomorrow as well on Journeys with JP on Revolution Radio and Wolf Spirit Radio and No Borders Radio. God bless you all. I love you all. Bye now. Beyond.